Coaching as Benevolence, a podcast for people who are curious about using coaching for self-development. I'm Erin with Roots and Wings Grief and Loss Coaching.
And I'm LaShawn with Michelle Sage Place Positive Intelligence Coaching. Today, we are going to explore the concept of surrender. If we look at the definition of surrender in Merriam-Webster's dictionary, there are several different meanings. The first one being to yield to the power, control, or possession of another upon compulsion or demand, to give up completely or agree to forego, especially in favor of another, to give oneself up into the power of another, especially as a prisoner, to give oneself over to something such as an influence. For me, I see surrender as letting go of the need to control everything. That's where surrender shows up for me, and we'll talk more about that. I am actually currently reading Michael Singer's book, The Surrender Experience. So that's, you know, been top of mind for me. But it's not just in this book that I'm reading. It's coming up in conversations that I'm having with other friends. Erin and I had a one-day retreat in Estes Park, and we were planning, brainstorming, thinking about all the wonderful things and different opportunities, possibilities that we have for this podcast going forward. We're getting close. We're about 2 months away from our, maybe 3 months away from our anniversary, our year anniversary. So we were just kind of thinking about all the things that could come up. And we were at the end of the day, and we were still, you know, pushing forward, thinking of, you know, topics, and we just kind of looked at each other and we're just like, yeah, we're done. We've got to surrender. Let's sleep on it. Let's think about, you know, let's just let it gel and process. We don't have to get it all done right now. So that, to me, is an example of surrender. Erin, what are your thoughts?
I am still struggling to process a little bit of all of the variants in the definitions, because as you were talking about them, they were a little bit different than I thought they would be, actually. Because when I think of the word surrender, especially from like a coaching lens, it tends to have a little bit of that like yielding and wisdom behind it that helps you open up to a way that you let life lead you in a way, right? Going back to kind of what you said there too. And then it's also kind of whimsical and spiritual when I think of surrender. And I guess that's how it's often talked about in music, potentially that source of surrender and that type of surrender. But this idea of, you know, resistance or, you know, trying to think through that, it really makes me want to better understand maybe how we in the coaching space use resistance as a way for surrender and as a way for hope, but also as a tool, knowing, you know, how far along the resistance spectrum we want to go and when we want to, you know, yield a little bit there. That is another thing that came up for me as you were talking, was this idea of the word resistance and how that relates to surrender as well. And then the third thing that came up for me was just the feeling of, you know, at the end of the day of our retreat, we had spent the entire day doing a lot of different activities and really focusing in on our assessment and how we wanted to move forward with the work that we're doing together. And, you know, by 7, 8 o'clock at night, it was just like, we're done. We need to take a moment to rest. And so rest is another word that comes up for me when I think of surrender. There's resistance and there's rest and there's hope and there's yielding. So those are the main words and themes that start to come up for me. LaShawn, what about you as you were reading those definitions of surrender? I know you kind of had a little bit of a reaction as well. And
yeah, same thing. It did kind of give me pause to read the definitions, because the definitions are centered on power and power dynamics. One, power taking over, you giving away your power. And one thing that when I think of surrender, and very much along the lines as in your thinking, Erin, in terms of spiritual surrender, when we surrender, there is a yielding. And there's an acknowledgement that there's a higher benevolent power out there who can take some of the burden from us. When I think of surrender, I think of that tendency to want to control the outcomes, to control what happens, and to not let go of or delegate certain tasks or certain experiences that we want to have. So, for example, if we want something to go really well, speaking for myself, I tend to want to control how it's going to turn out, like the results of it. And it is a mental exercise for me to let go of the thought that I have any control over the outcomes. So when I think of surrender, I think of letting go of the idea that there's going to be a certain type of result to this. I'm going to put in the work, and I have, as you were saying, Erin, hope, or I have aspirations for this. And surrender is acknowledging that the results are out of my hands, you know, because you can put a lot of effort into something and think of all the things that could go wrong and you know, address all the perceived risks and go by the book. And maybe you might look at someone else and say, oh, they had success, so I'm going to do exactly what they did in my situation, so I should have success. But that's not necessarily the case. And it's not necessarily something we have control over. So when I think of surrender, I think of surrendering to the process or surrendering to possibilities that are out of our hands. And then, of course, that comes to the yielding too, yielding to maybe a higher power or a to chance or to what might be something that really takes off and people really like. Or if it doesn't take off and people don't really respond to it, I'm thinking in terms of a project or something, then learning from that, you know, getting feedback from that, where surrender is yielding to the process. Doesn't have to necessarily be an entity or a person. It could be a process, it could be a system, or you know, something like that, so that you don't feel like it's all in your hands. Anything coming up for you, Erin?
It started in my mind to go a little down the path of grief and loss. And we've brought this up, and you've brought it up in past episodes too about that opening up, that breaking open in grief and loss. And I think that is such a point of surrender in that space, because when we surrender to the breaking open of more love, it grows our capacity and our container for love and compassion. And I think that is surrendering, and surrendering to the old self or the old ways of being that really don't serve much. The other thing that came up for me too is I'm getting close with my book. It's still a work in progress, but it's so much closer. And each chapter I have a quote. So I was looking back through like what quotes have I considered using? And there's one that I had considered, which I don't think I'm going to use just because of how it fits into my book, but I think it might fit into this conversation. So I'm going to share that, and maybe we can talk about that a little bit too. But it says, to survive and flourish in such a world, you will need a lot of mental flexibility and great reserves of emotional balance. You will have to repeatedly let go of some of what you know best and feel at home with the unknown. And this is by Yuval Noah Harari. He's a famous author, thought leader, a lot of things. I thought that quote really played into this idea of surrendering, letting go of some of what you know best and being okay with the unknown or feeling at home with the unknown. And that's hard because we often want to have that level of control in our lives to create some level of certainty or to create false identities or false ways of being to think that we actually are in control when that's just not the case. So that quote really stood out to me. I guess I'll share it publicly here since it probably isn't going to land in the book. But yeah, do you have anything that came up for you when I read that quote or additional feedback?
Yeah, absolutely. The idea of letting go or surrendering, like your knowledge, for example, and the unknown, because I think we have a tendency to limit ourselves to what we know, and then even insist that if you get new information, or if there's something you don't know very well, then to even, and this was where resistance comes in, to resist or to reject that new information because it's not fitting your current information or what you know. And I like the idea of what you said before about opening up or being broken open and increasing their capacity to love. That requires a certain level of surrender. And I think that's what allows us to open up. When we are holding on to a certain view or a certain idea of something, in order to be flexible, in order to grow, in order to expand, one of the things that we do need to learn as growing beings is to surrender to the unknown, as that quote so clearly stated, the unknown. And that comes up in our talks a lot. Like what when we talk about inspiration, when we talk about appreciation, when we talk about these different concepts, which involve opening up, which involve, and when I think opening up, I think vulnerability. And this comes up, this is a common theme that comes up, the unknown, being comfortable with the unknown and being willing to learn and take on new information, even if it contradicts what you believe to be true or you believe to be right. So I think there's a lot there in that quote, so many layers to that quote. And I think it's very fitting to this conversation as well. And this brings me to, you have brought it up before in grief and loss coaching and where surrender comes in or how it appears, manifests in our coaching. Is there more that can be said about how we can use surrender as a strategy for the healing journey, for how we work with our clients? Any thoughts, Erin? I know you talked about it with the grief and loss, but is there more that you can add?
Yeah. And I think this relates to my book too, but just this concept of as we're relearning our world and as our brains are shifting through this space of loss, there's a new map, right? There's a new roadmap for what is happening, and we don't know what that looks like. So we kind of have to surrender to that. But as part of surrendering to that, we can use that as a strategy, like you said, by scaffolding things to make that map work, you know, more proficiently for us or more profoundly or speak to us in a better way. And I think one of those pieces is definitely listening, right? Like that's one of the scaffolding tools to work on is how one is listening to themselves, listening to where they're at right now and how that might be different to how they used to listen to themselves and all of that. So, you know, having the space to really interrogate listening as a strategy, because we often think like the coach is trained in different listening techniques, but even like relaying that back to the client themselves for them to have those listening strategies too, I think is really empowering in this space to surrendering. I also think levels of reflection, whether that's talking, journaling, you know, I often talk about forms of movement, help us better unravel our understandings to, you know, be able to surrender with confidence or at least surrender with hope. Yeah, I think I maybe like hope better than confidence because confidence is a little bit individualistic, like directed in that way, whereas hope is you're open to what else may be externally impacting your experience as well. And so drawing it back to that quote, I really like how he talks about, you know, you need to have these reserves of emotional balance. And that is something that is built up over time. It's scaffolded. There are tools and specific strategies to help people do that. And that looks different for each individual as well. And emotional balance isn't, I want to put this out there that to say that, you know, people who may be struggling with a mental health challenge, it doesn't mean they don't have emotional balance any more than somebody else. It just means that they're having to navigate that emotional balance with this diagnosed health challenge, right? So I want to put that out there just to so people are really clear on where I stand in that area and what I mean there. But everybody has the capacity to continue to work on that emotional balance, which I think again, opens up that container of love, which opens up the surrendering. And the surrendering then leads to something much better, much greater than what one could self-direct. And I firmly believe that here and in relationship to this conversation, also in the grief space, just that does often lead to something much better than what one could have done on their own. And when I say on their own, I mean just by themselves, right? Like the surrendering here is getting the help and resources that you need too, and being open to the external factors or forces that may be at play as well. So I think there's so many ways that we as coaches help our clients engage in this space of surrender and do it in a way that is meaningful, practical, and really helpful in the healing process. Because I think that is such a healing modality to surrender more in life in that way. LaShawn, anything else you would add about a coach's practice and how they can help others in their journey of surrender?
I love what you said about in the beginning when you mentioned with the definition where you think of wisdom as part of, you know, surrender. And one thing that we do in positive intelligence is we do a lot of visualizations. And one of the visualizations that we do is meeting your wiser elder self. And in this visualization, you go through this process of surrendering because you are allowing yourself to be open to what your wiser elder self has to say about a situation that you are looking at or exploring. And this wiser elder self offers their wisdom to you in this process. And for me, I think that when you are visualizing this and you're open to one, the suspension of disbelief, because you're talking to another a part of yourself, you need to use your imagination. That's a surrender to be able to suspend that disbelief and also to journey into the realm of imagination, journey into the realm of the spiritual. That requires a surrender, your ego to surrender. So your ego, that part of yourself, which does kind of speak to what you said about confidence. It's that kind of egoistic, me doing it on my own, being independent, having all the answers, knowing everything, and allowing yourself to listen, that goes to the listening, to that inner part of yourself that has that wisdom, is tapped into a deeper knowing. Part of that visualization is integrating that part of yourself into your current self and understanding that the answers are there within, and trusting that you have that wisdom, that wisdom is with you. That requires, again, another layer of surrender where you are allowing for a belief or a sense that, yes, I'm facing something maybe that I haven't faced before. Again, going back to map and creating a different map because you're having a different experience. Change requires different ways of being, different ways of doing, thinking and feeling. It does include or involve that letting go and being okay with not knowing how this is going to turn out, not knowing how you're going to, you know, get your bearings, but know that you are going to get your bearings. So there's a lot of trust there too. And I think that surrender requires trust as well. Trust in yourself, trust in your thought partner, trust in the process. Those things are so important when you're in the coaching space. So I would say surrender is part of that process. It's part of what we do as coaches and what we do as clients when we're working with our coaches. There is a opportunity to surrender and to let go and to lean in to the rhythm and the flow and the pace and what is happening, what's unfolding in this new experience. Any thoughts, Erin?
I like the word unfolding because it's always about like trusting the process. And I think unfolding is a really nice word to complement that. And then this idea of having trust, when you were talking about that, I started to become a little bit more curious about my own coaching practice and also my own healing process. You know, when you can fully delve into the process or fully trust and have a strong belief in the process, I think there is something that happens with maybe a little bit more strength and conviction and follow through. But on the other end of that, most people aren't there when they start the process. I'm not there. Most people aren't there. And so this level of trust can be, I like the word tentative trust. We can start with tentative trust. We can start with a tentative process, and we can continue to make shifts and adjustments as part of this, you know, longer term process to then continue to build that trust, not only the trust in the coach client relationship or the process, but also to that trust in the surrender and the self, you know, going through this healing. So I think I like playing around a little bit more about the concept of trusting the process and that word and how we can be okay if it's not quite fully there yet. And I know we are as coaches, like that makes a lot of sense. But I know also when I was seeking services early on in my grief experiences, I would struggle with that. Like, oh, I can't fully trust this. I don't know what to do here. Maybe I should stop this practice right away. Or there's a lot of different things. And maybe that's true. Maybe, you know, there is a better practice for somebody and they don't need to stick with the same process that they are currently using. But it is one of those things that I don't think any of these are absolutes. And I just want to, you know, ensure to the listeners that even if you feel a little bit lacking in your confidence about the trust in the process or the trust in yourself to make these shifts, that's okay. And that trust will grow. And even just having a glimmer of it or a tiny little seed of it is a fine place to be and a fine starting point with that. So I think as you were talking, I haven't really thought until you were talking about sharing that with the people that I work with, but I think maybe there could be some opportunity to maybe think through a little bit more about how we talk about trust and how we help our clients feel supported just with that word. So that's a lot for me to kind of think about right now, as far as based off of everything you said, and I'll continue to probably either talk about it on this podcast, but also to consider it outside of this podcast as well. And then you also mentioned the ego surrendering, you know, that. And I think that is something that is on every hero's journey, right? Like everybody's story, there has to be the moments in those journey that people surrender and very much so, like, you know, are no longer so ego driven, but are open up to another driving force that flows through them. And I know that sounds mystical, but that's just one example. So that's also what comes up for me too, is just how that plays out for each individual. And I would put a guess out there that maybe that is something that many people have in their story, right? That's part of what they grapple with. The other thing is when I think about surrendering, I think that as a coach, I have to surrender to certain parts of myself. I have to listen beyond powerful listening, beyond active listening techniques, beyond all those listening techniques that we're trained in. I have to listen at that deeper level. And I also need to be in that space of trusting the process as well. And so surrendering as a coach, I think that's also another or phrase that could be used in training, because I've been trained in all these different ICF coach training things and coaching training and best practices and have delivered them to university and those sorts of things as well. And we never talk about surrendering as a coach as part of our own pedagogical methods that we use in our own practice. So this is coming up for me in this podcast as we're talking, that I think we could do a better job at talking about the word surrender when we train coaches, thinking about how we use that word in our practice specifically. I know we talked about how we use that with our clients, but how we use that with ourselves, I think that training piece could definitely be supported. So that was the other thing that started to come to mind as you were we're talking. Do you have, so with that, do you have an example of a time that you felt you really surrendered as a coach? And it, and because you did that, the appointment likely went better than maybe a different appointment?
When I was in an appointment with a client who was struggling with a situation with her in-laws, and my ego was really triggered. I felt like I had to help fix it for her, and I lost sight of what the purpose of the appointment was. I started to kind of get, I was affected by her frustration. We were going through the process, and she was frustrated with the process, and she was feeling stuck. And I, as a coach, was starting to feel inadequate, and I was grappling with the need to make her feel better about the process, make her feel like she was making some kind of breakthrough. In the midst of having this conversation with her and being aware of the fact that my ego, my inner critic was really active, I surrendered to that. I basically was very open with her. And I said, hey, you know, let me just let you know what I'm going through in this, to be really transparent. And then in surrendering this need to look like this perfect coach who knew what she was doing and was controlling the process in such a way that would yield results that would be really great and she'd have a breakthrough. And so I just said, hey, this is where I'm at. And I told her, you know, very transparent in positive intelligence. We know that there's an inner critic, which we call the judge. My judge is so active right now. Do you mind if we just do some PQ reps? And we did some PQ reps, which is this mindfulness training that you do in order to get into your body and out of your head and to quiet those voices inside. It helped her and it helped me. And being able to surrender to that, to be vulnerable, to trust her and to trust myself, to just be transparent and say, hey, I'm human and I'm having a human moment. And can we take a moment to do some grounding? And once we did that, once we were able to do the PQ reps together, the energy changed, it shifted, her frustration went down. And I was able to be open and objective, not try to control or lead her. And we ended up having a really great session. The appointment went so well, was a turnaround. It was a risk on my part to just, you know, say, hey, you know, this is where I'm at. And it was a moment of surrender for me. And I think it was a moment of surrender for her. Because she visibly took a breath and said, yeah, you know, I'm really feeling out of sorts too. Let's do this. And we were able together to get grounded and to really take advantage of listening and seeing the situation from a different perspective, having quieted both of our inner voices. So it's really a great experience. How about you, Erin? Do you have an example of surrender in coaching that helped with the appointment?
I think one of the things that sometimes happens in my coaching is like we're building towards something and, you know, each appointment kind of builds off of the next in some ways. And so for me, this is kind of an overall theme actually. And some of the clients that I work with, this kind of balance where it comes up of like, okay, we want to stay this kind of course of these kind of more tangible steps that the client wants to utilize, right? Like it's not something that's coming from me as a directive. It's something they've come up. They know what's going to work for them. And we want to stay that course, but then all these other life factors often get thrown in, right? It's like, oh, well, this week, this also happened on top of all these other things. And so can we kind of sidestep and take a look here? And so for me, I struggle sometimes with how do I, as a coach, hold that space for the client to explore what they need to explore and surrender to those needs while also helping to hold them accountable as a coach does as part of an accountability and thought partner. And so I have learned from observation, not the research, that when I do a little bit more of the surrendering it ends up going so much better than when I try to kind of hold the conversation to this exact coaching framework or this exact program kind of or step that they're trying to move toward. So it's really been an art and a science of trying to figure that out and what works best for everyone and how that's different for some people. But I like also the word that you used, how you took a risk. And the word surrender, I can see, and risk, the word risk complement each other quite well in some ways. And so there's always a risk if I surrender at those moments that maybe I should have helped them stay accountable to where they were at in the process. And then other times, there's a risk that we didn't surrender enough, you know, and go that direction. And so I'd like to err on that side more, right? Like on that surrendering side, because there's so much wisdom, as the word has come up throughout this podcast, through that process. And there's so much self-understanding that can be gained through that surrendering. And then the other word that's been kind of coming up in my mind, I don't know if we've talked about it much, but like to defer. And so as I was talking about the coaching practice and my kind of thinking through different coaching clients, I thought of the word like defer. So sometimes I need to defer here, or, you know, how is that different than surrendering? And maybe to me, it seems like a little bit more of a pause with like it's surrender light in a way. And that's sometimes what needs to take place in the appointment as well. There's so much richness in this word in the coaching profession that maybe we should write an article about this word in coaching practice,
Absolutely.
theory, and talk about it more for, you know, professional coaches in this space. And I know we've talked quite a bit about it from the lens of the professional coach, but also just looking at the day-to-day life of every individual and how they surrender. And maybe that's a good segue into a coaching nugget of wisdom. Just this idea, I guess I'll share forward this, you know, how can you incorporate surrender each day or start out with an intention where you do that twice a week and then build to each day eventually. But what is it that you want to surrender to as part of that surrender and how? And I think that would be my coaching nugget of wisdom.
Oh, love it. So I would add, what are the benefits of surrendering? How can practicing surrender and welcoming surrender in your life improve your life, make it better for you? So what's good about surrendering? I know Aaron and I talked a lot about that in the podcast, but I want to put it out there to our listeners. Where is surrender a good activity? Practice in your life. Thanks for joining us for Coaching as Benevolence. I'm LaShawn with Meychelle Sage Place, Positive Intelligence Coaching.
And I'm Erin with Roots and Wings, Grief and Loss Coaching.
Have a benevolent day.